Father, we praise you for this hour together with you. We praise you for this fellowship, for the joy we have as believers in Jesus to gather together each week to worship you, to lift his name on high, to proclaim the gospel, to encourage one another, to learn more from your word, and become more and more like the Savior who loves us and saved us, redeemed us by his own blood. We pray that in this hour you will be glorified, the Son lifted high, the Spirit moving in power and might in each heart, for each believer to be drawn closer to you and to one another. And if there are any here today who have not yet put their faith and trust in Christ alone to save them from their sins, we pray that they would do that, be born again today, and be on their way to heaven. Father, thank you for this hour. We commit it to you. Bless Pastor as he brings the word, and all that is done, may Jesus Christ be praised and lifted high. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Yeah, here we are. Sunday morning, church, like we're supposed to be. Family of God. Good to see each one of you here this morning. We're getting closer and closer to Christmas, aren't we?
Yeah.
And that's six. And then we do have an evening service tonight at 6. Come on out. We will be singing some Christmas carols and other things. And Brother Steve will be bringing us a message. So come on out for that tonight. And Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer. You'll need to pray. Come on out and join us for prayer. And then next Sunday, the 15th, is a regular Sunday. And then on the 22nd, we're going to have the special Christmas program that we have every year. And so we need you to participate. Whatever you'd like to do. Play your instrument, sing a song, read something, whatever you'd like to do. Join in, you know. We're going to start at 10 o'clock on that Sunday. Please set your watch, set your clock. Right? Get up a little earlier and come on out at 10 o'clock, and we'll have the Christmas program. And we also have a missionary offering that day, and then we'll not have an evening service where you can do your own thing. What's it going to be? Do something productive. Huh? All right. And then the Christmas Eve service. I know Jeff and Mary went and passed out some flyers last week. We have some people that perhaps might come. They talked to several folks. We appreciate that very much. And just come on out for the candlelight service. Make a special one. This is our Christmas ceremony, right? So don't miss that if you can possibly come. We're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Very traditional reading here at Christmas time, right? Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much that we can come into your house today to worship you. And we do praise you and thank you for all that you are to us. We thank you, Lord, to know that you never leave us nor forsake us. We can depend upon you to be there in every trial, in every time of joy, and every time of heartache. We thank you that you are always near. So, Lord, we pray that you'll help us today to look to you and find the strength we need and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in fellowship with him and do your will. We just thank you for the season of the year, our Father, when we are anticipating the Christmas Day, coming of Jesus, and all that that means, and to have that emphasis once again that he is the Savior. He is the only one who can save us from our sins. And we just pray that you're blessed today in all that we do and say, that we would be pleasing in your sight. We do pray for our missionaries today, Lord. We know many of them are scattered around the world. And we just ask you to undertake for them and bless them in their efforts to reach people with the gospel of Christ. We just thank you so much for all that you are doing in our church. Thank you for each and every one who is coming out. And we just pray that you'll continue to help us and give us all that we need that we might be able to serve you in the very best way. We think of the upcoming Christmas celebrations and pray that they might truly honor your name and that we might be able to enjoy this time of year. And Lord, may your holy will be done. Be with those who are ill. We pray that you'll touch them, strengthen them, heal them. Meet their needs, dear Lord. You know the need of each and every one. Pray that you will give us the grace and strength to keep going. Lord, we just love you and pray that you will help us to love one another and to serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 again. You're looking at this. So at the beginning of December, of course, we enter into the Advent season leading up to Christmas. It's Advent simply means coming. So we're talking about the coming of the Savior into the world. And this is the time here before the coming of Christ to the earth. And some churches celebrate Advent by lighting a candle every week. Certainly something they can do. We have our candles around, don't we? Yes. But anyway, Christmas Eve, we're going to light the candles. So I hope everyone can come out for that, and we will worship the Lord together on that beautiful evening. So anyway, we have the prophet Isaiah had a great deal to say about the coming of the Messiah. That Israel was expecting to come. You know, they had been looking and waiting and watching all the way back from the book of Genesis, where it talked about the one that was going to destroy the serpent and give freedom to his people. And here they have been looking and longing and waiting for that. So here we see in Isaiah chapter 9. We looked last week, we saw Isaiah chapter 7. Where it speaks there about the coming of the virgin-born Son of God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. A very important thing to think about, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. No question about it. All the way through the scriptures, that's what it teaches us, right? And we want to remember that. Well, here we see this, it speaks here in the beginning of this, talks about the great light. Huh? At that time, this was written, and Israel was in deep darkness. It was a difficult time. In chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "And they look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." You know, darkness is a terrible thing, isn't it? When you can't see where you're going, you know? And it's just uncomfortable to be in the darkness. And these people were going through that. We saw last week how Israel and Syria were coming against Judah, against Jerusalem, to overcome them and to take over. And God, of course, intervened and kept that from happening. But the nation was divided between Israel and Judah, and they were enemies now, and fighting one another. Isaiah here warns Judah of a greater enemy, Assyria, the big neighbor that will bring devastation and destruction. So he says, don't start looking for someone else, you know. Don't start looking in a different direction. Look unto the Lord. He's the one who has the answer for you. So there's a promise, however, here, that the gloom and the darkness and despair will vanish with the coming of the great light. The great light. And the region of Galilee that had been greatly afflicted will be blessed with the presence of that light. Did you notice that it says in the first verse, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations." Where did Jesus come from? He was Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee, right? He was a Galilean, and that's where he did a great deal of his work. And here he's talking about the darkness in that land and how that the light had to shine to them. It was in Nazareth of Galilee that Christ was conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary, in fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. We read that last week. I think I'll read it again. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who came down as the answer to all of our problems, all of our needs. It was in Galilee that Jesus did most of his ministry. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 4 for a minute. Matthew chapter 4. I think I have it marked. Here it is. Yes. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, it says here, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now that's the same as what Isaiah talked about, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. So here Jesus is coming, he's going to set up his headquarters at Capernaum, which is in this area, "that it might be fulfilled," here it is, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this Jesus began his ministry there in Galilee, in this very area that Isaiah spoke of as being filled with darkness, that needed to have the light shine upon them. And so here we find the great joy that comes. The great light dwells in the shadow of death, upon them that the light has shined. The people that walk in darkness, let me read. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus came to this very place and preached the gospel and showed them the way that God had for them to go. So here we find the great joy that comes. Beginning in verse 3, there's a little question here about this. I'm not sure how to explain it. In the translation here in my King James Version, it has the word not. And some of the other versions, it doesn't have that. It seems like it's talking about a joyful time rather than a sad time. Because they said, thou hast multiplied the nation and increased the joy. So I don't know. I'm not trying to take anything out of the Bible. But anyway, there's a question there as to what that means. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. So this is it. You know, when the crop comes in, after all the work has been done, right? And you've done all the plowing and all the harrowing and all the rest of it and prepared the land and waited for the rain and all that. Then the harvest comes as joy, you know, when they can reap and bring forth the crop and enjoy all of the fruits of their labors. So here's what he's saying, like that of harvest time, when one can enjoy the fruit that they have produced. And then he says also it's like winning the battle and dividing the wealth of the enemy among yourselves. Here, verse 4, it says, wait a minute. Yeah. Last part of verse 3. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. See, when you're in battle, you win the victory and you're able to divvy up all of the remains there, whatever was left over. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Okay, so here, it says it's like winning the battle and dividing the wealth. Like being set free from the bondage of oppression, as the day of, in the day of Midian. And there he's referring back to Gideon's victory over the Midianites, you remember? It's in Judges chapter 7, where he talks about, you know, he had this gigantic army, right? And he was going to go in and fight against the Midianites, and God said, hey, wait just 1 minute. You've got too many people. If you win here, you know, if you win this battle, then you say, oh, well, it was my army that did it, right? So he said, no, you've got too many people. You've got those that are afraid, send them home. Would you believe? 23,000, I think it was, took off. They were gone, right? And then he said, you've still got too many. So he took them down by the river, and he had them drink water. And there were some that got down on their knees and drank, you know, like that. And there were others that just lapped the water up like a dog laps it up with his tongue, you know. And so God says, okay, the ones that lap the water are the ones you take with you. 300 people against the army of the Midianites, right? And of course they came to this thing and they had a fancy way of winning the battle, right? They had their torches and their trumpets and some kind of a covering again. They covered up the torch, and they blew the trumpet, and then made this great noise. The 300, they divided up in threes, 100 here, 100 there, 100 there. And they all broke the light and sounded the trumpet and scared everybody to death, we would say, right? And they all got excited, and that's how they won the battle. And God got the glory.
Amen.
Because this wasn't natural, was it? That's not the way you fight battles. It's like going around the city of Jericho. You have to go around, march around seven times, right? And the walls will come tumbling down. That's God's work.
Amen.
He's the one that does it. And we just do what he says. He says, okay, here's what you do. You say, yes, sir. That's it. He's the commander-in-chief, right? And so we find that that's what he's saying here. This is the kind of joy that the great light brought to this place of darkness. Huh? That's what he's saying here. And it's like the end of warfare and the beginning of peace in verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. So after the battle's all over, right? That's when the joy comes, when you no longer have to fight. You know? Gonna lay down my heavy burdens down about the riverside. Yeah? Study war no more. That'll be a wonderful time, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the end of warfare. Peace. The victory is complete. And then all of a sudden, here it comes in verse 6. This prophecy of the Lord Jesus coming, the great Savior. He comes. The promise here of his birth. For unto us a child is born. So here we find the Lord Jesus coming, and his birth proclaimed. We have here the Isaiah's writing to his people, and he says to the Jews, you know, Jesus came to the Jews first, right? He came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gives he the power to become the children of God. See? That's the reason we're here this morning worshiping the Lord. Because he came. He was born of the Virgin. And here he came unto his own, but they didn't receive him. So God opened up the way for whosoever will. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this morning that we can freely love the Lord Jesus and follow him and serve him faithfully, as he tells us there over in the book of John, John chapter 1, where he talks about the coming of the light. Let's look at that for a minute. John chapter 1. Yeah. And I wasn't going to read it, but I will. Let's see. John chapter 1. Okay. It says that here, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not, or was not able to put it out, in other words. And he talks about John. It says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, the great light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which light is every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then he goes on to say, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we have our Lord Jesus Christ, the great light that shines in the darkness. He came. He was born of the Virgin. A child is born unto us. A son is given. You know, God gave his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And he gave the Lord Jesus. He came born of a virgin. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. The eternal God who became a human being. And then the Son was given. The purpose of his birth was to die. That might sound strange. Someone born into this world in order to die. But that's it. The Father gave the Son to pay for the sins of the world. And he came to do the Father's will. His entire life was dedicated to revealing the Father and obeying his will. He lived a perfect life, free from sin, and he had died on the cross to atone for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might have eternal life. That's the reason he came. A son is given. And then we see the prospect of his victory. Notice how it goes from birth, death, to what? The government shall be upon his shoulder. So it passes over a great deal of time here in this prophecy, speaking about the time when Jesus will rule and reign in splendor. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called. So here we have the prospect of his victory. The government be upon his shoulder. He shall reign in power and great glory. And that's coming. We talked about that in Sunday School this morning too, but Pastor Steve was mentioning that. We don't know when Jesus is coming. Right? But he is coming to take his church home, and then after come back to the earth, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Say, do you really believe this? Yes. Why not?
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And that's what we believe, right?
Yep.
And so we're thankful to know that what we have seen in this old sinful world is not always going to be here. You know, sometimes it looks that way, doesn't it? You know, and that darkness is going to prevail, but no, Jesus is coming, and he's going to shed the light on the darkness and dispel it. And he's going to rule and reign. Someone asks a question here. It's kind of foolish, I think. It says, how old would Jesus be if he was still living today? How old would Jesus be?
Ageless.
Jesus is living. You know. And how old is he?
Ageless.
He's eternal. Mm-hmm. There's no beginning, there's no ending. Right? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we can just worship and adore him because there is no end to his life. And the answer, he's living, he's eternal. And then they see this wonderful, these wonderful names. Now, I know there's a difference in some of the Bibles and so forth. My Bible, the King James, says, uses wonderful. And I know there's a song that talks about his name is wonderful, you know? And I like that. I really do. Now, it may be that the author meant to say wonderful counselor. Okay. That's what a lot of versions do say. And that's true as well. But he's wonderful. Everything about him is wonderful. Everything. Right? He is someone to be amazed at, right? No man ever spake like him, they said, you know? And there's no way to put him in a corner. He is the Almighty God.
Amen.
And so we can worship him. He is wonderful. His birth, his life, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. It's all wonderful. Wonderful. And we can rejoice in all of that. And then we see he is the counselor. You want to say wonderful counselor? Okay, that's great too. He has all wisdom. He's always available, you know, wherever you are. You know. Anytime you can lift up a prayer and he will hear you, right? He will answer if you will only look to him and believe and trust in him. He's always available. He doesn't, you know, try to think. He doesn't sleep, right? God doesn't sleep. He's always there. You wake up in the middle of the night, you know, something troubling you, what can you do? Call upon the Lord. I like that little cartoon I see every once in a while online or something. It talks about this little boy talking to his grandfather, and he says, "When you can't sleep, do you count sheep?" He says, "No, I talk to the shepherd."
Aww.
There you go. And we have that privilege as the children of God. We can rejoice in his goodness to us. He gives us comfort and strength for the day. He guides us through life. Yeah? So all of this, he's the counselor, the one who is our advocate. It says in the Epistle to John, he's the one who stands in our place and takes up for us. Right? And then when we do sin, we can confess our sins and he can forgive us. He's our counselor. And the mighty God. So I thought Jesus was the Son of God. Well, he did come as the Son of God, representing the Father, didn't he? But he's also, from all eternity past, he is the living God. Right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we can rejoice in that he is the mighty God. All power, he says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's no one greater than Jesus.
Amen.
No one. He has all power, all authority, and we can just go in his name. The missionaries go out to the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And the mighty God. Okay. And he's the creator of everything. You know, it says over in the book of Hebrews that God created everything through Jesus. He's the one who did it. So he had a part in creation itself. And he is one with the Father. He is the life giver. He is worthy of our worship and adoration.
Amen.
Right? We can worship the Lord in that way. And then he says, the everlasting Father. You know, it's interesting. We talk about God, the Heavenly Father, yes. But Jesus acts as a Father as well. You know, All through his life here on earth, he was constantly helping other people and showing acting as a father to others. And he is one with the Father. And we can be sure that he is the one who cares for us like a father. Like a father cares for his children, so the Lord will care for you. He's always there. And then the last Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You know, this world is filled with war, right? Everywhere you look, you know, you can't get away from it. Over in the Middle East, Israel, and the terrorists all around there, Hezbollah and Hamas and all the rest, Iran and so forth and so on, Iraq and all these places, strange places that we've never been, at least I haven't. And yet, he is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace to that whole area. And someday he will.
Amen.
You know, we think sometimes, well, they will never end. You know, you say, they've been fighting for centuries, they just got to continue. You know, but there is going to be an end. Jesus is going to end it, and he's going to bring in a period of peace, and then all of eternity. We're going to have tranquility and peace. We can trust him. He came to bring peace to a war-weary world. And someday he will. He gives peace to everyone who believes in him as Savior and Lord. You know, that's a wonderful kind of peace. And we think about world peace, that's great, that would be great. But what about your own heart? Huh? Do you have peace? Or are you troubled? Do you feel the turmoil, the strife, or whatever? You hate somebody because he did something to you? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is able to take all that away and give you peace. We need that. You know, it's so foolish to allow the devil to bring the anguish and sorrow that he does into our lives, when we can have the peace of God. You know, the peace of God that it says passes all understanding. We can have peace with God. Huh? And certainly that's what we need. And there is no peace without him. How? If you don't have Jesus, what have you got? Huh? You don't have any future unless you put your faith in him. Because he's the one who is able to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. Prince of Peace.
Amen.
We can trust in him. So I hope this morning that each and every one of us has that down in our hearts. We are have the peace of God, and he is with us. And we know the Lord Jesus as our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And pray that you will help us, encourage us, strengthen us. May we not be discouraged. May we not be downhearted. May we look to you and find that peace that passes all understanding. May your holy will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for Jesus, our precious Savior. He is glorious. He is wonderful. He is incomparable. There is no one like him. We thank you that he came, was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived among us. And then he gave his life willingly at our hands, to be put to death on that cross, and by doing so, shed his blood and paid the price for all of our sins, that all of us here today could be saved from those sins and be given eternal life as a free gift. and to be changed and transformed as we're born again by the Spirit of God, as we sang earlier. Something's different now. And Father, we praise you for this glorious message and this glorious Savior. May we all draw closer to him today. May we proclaim his name with joy and confidence and without fear as we share with those who don't know him yet that they can be saved if they'll put their trust in him as well. Father, seal to our hearts the things we've heard today. Bless the fellowship after the service now, and we pray for your protection as we head home and then as we return again tonight. May your name be glorified as we gather again. We commit all these things to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.